Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. The news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon, and you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show. But
yeah,
you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck.
Top to bottom.
You want to listen to it ad-free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even. For $55, you can get a whole year of office hours entertainment.
$55, how much you can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right.
you'd pay $60 for a year at
right.
$5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun.
Yeah.
I like to laugh.
Yeah.
I like to meet people who can make me laugh.
Hey!
Yeah. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh.
Yeah.
I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Crack. Let's take two. Let's go back to one. Here we go. Two.
Good morning. Oh, morning. Hoo-ha. It's 10 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday. That means only one thing. It's Office Hours Live. Office Hours Live. We are here, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to be with you today on this day. We are now living in Biden's America. We have to be very careful about what we say, ladies and gentlemen. We have to really stop and think about what we're going to say, because we could get in big trouble now. We're in Biden's America. It is a new day dawning.
Is yet to come.
It's positive.
Come on, man.
And there's some negative, because we have to be very careful about how we say things and what we say.
Yes,
we're constantly under surveillance now. The House is surrounded.
I got hairy legs.
They're listening, folks. The administration is listening. They are monitoring us closely. And if we don't follow the party line, there's going to be big trouble here at the show, guys. So just be very careful today. Do you hear me?
This shit sucks.
All right? So I'm going to be very, very deliberate. I'm going to make sure I want to get that word right. Deliberate. Is that fair? Deliberate. No.
This is a donut.
Careful, man. We're not doing donuts today. I gave you the list of words we don't get near.
When in doubt, I have a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Cream. Pure vanilla.
I gave the guys a list of 250 words that we are to avoid. So we're going to be very careful. But we're still going to have a good time. I want to welcome to the show Doug Lusenhop. DJ Doug Pound.
Thank you, Tim.
On my right shoulder here, for a lot of you guys, it's screen left.
Doug.
And Vic Berger. Vic.
Thank you, Tim.
And
Thank
Doug
you, Tim.
Are both masked up today. Well, this is not performative.
Oh, this is like, I'm scared out of my mind.
Vic is scared. I was wearing a mask. You can confirm this, guys.
Burger?
Was wearing a mask up until the broadcast today, but
that's
since
true.
We
and you're facing that way,
and I'm facing this way.
Okay.
Doug had left the state. Can we be honest about
well
that?
Done,
I don't want to call you out, but he left the state for a couple days. So we're being extra cautious. I don't want anybody saying that we're just doing it for looks or whatever.
Trying to set a good example too. We want to we want people to wear a mask.
It is this feeling
trying
of
to
like
push Biden's agenda.
We gotta.
we just got to get through this at this point. It's very hard. It feels like, could you imagine getting this at this stage? And it's like I've gone through this whole year.
Vaccines are,
they're just the light at the end of the tunnel. We just got to stand tall.
Get through it.
They just lowered the age for vaccines to 55.
Where?
I'm almost in range.
In L.A. or here in California?
I think so. That's what I heard. Yeah.
That just applies to Sammy Hagar.
I was trying to get my parents to push for it because they lowered it to 75 now. So that's, I mean, they're
what
not.
What do you mean?
They
like, lowered it to 75?
Yeah, like their
in
phase
Pennsylvania?
Two. Phase
what was
two
it above
is,
then?
It was like, you know, high risk. It was first responder.
High risk? Where are you calling in from?
High risk here.
Hot risk.
But I heard a sad story that my friend's wife is a nurse. My friend's wife is a nurse in Delaware, and she has been throwing the vaccine away because not enough people are coming to get it.
Oh,
they're dumping it down the drain. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, my mom out in Palm Springs was saying that it's very complicated. They're lined the appointments go almost like for the testing. The appointments go online, and then they like immediately get filled up and sold out.
Yeah.
The report today from CNN says that. The Biden administration is saying that, as we might have suspected, there was no plan at all for the vaccine. So they're starting from scratch now.
Because there's nothing for us to rework. We're going to have to build everything from scratch, which you just said.
Which was it's funny because they say, you know, we've been hesitant to criticize them too much during this transition period. For fear of some kind of, you know, like Trump going and literally flushing all the vaccines down the toilet out of spite or something.
Right. But,
so now, you know, I have no reason to doubt that that's what the case is, but who knows. Sorry, we just started on a huge, boring tangent. I'm so sick of talking. Everybody I talk to is saying, what about the vaccine? What do you think about the vaccine? Do you think it's going to cut? What about the testing? What about the numbers? I can't.
Come on, man.
A friend of mine's father is down with it. Doesn't look like he's going to make it.
No.
So it's just
know
been
the
tough.
Day I was
but
born.
Let me get through some plugs. We have a great show today. We've got Jake Longstreth, who hosts a show with Ezra Koenig. Which I'll never say correctly the first time. I might not have said it correctly that time from Vampire Weekend. Time Crises. He's also a beautiful crises. Time Crises. He's also a beautiful painter.
Yeah.
A really impressive painter. And a deadhead with his own Grateful Dead cover band.
Got to take the good with the bad.
So we'll talk, I'm sure, about all that. And then we'll be joined by, I assume Adam is a Dead fan, too. I'm just guessing based on the little I know of him. I might be wrong. I don't want to put him on the spot because I respect him too much. I don't respect Jake as much. I mean, he hasn't earned my respect, Doug. You understand? You got to come and earn my respect. But Adam from the War on Drugs is, you know, what a great, great artist. And Jake is a great artist, too, who I'm sure I will grow to respect. We are now happy to announce that the Mr. America special screening on January 31st is live. The ticket link is live. That's MrAmerica.eventive.org. EVENTIVE. Eventive.org. Matt, maybe we can put that in the chat link or something.
Yes, it is in the description as well.
There you go. So that's going to be fun. We're going to do a Q&A. There's some different ways of... And I'll tell you this, you know, without getting into the details and the mucky muck of this, what a great way to financially support On Cinema in 2021.
Now I'm getting excited.
You hear me? You hear that?
You make a good point.
You know, it is a good point. Our super chats are turned on. Another great way to show your support for Office Hours, if you haven't joined the Patreon, of course you could do both, patreon.com/officehourslive. All right, that's enough of that. In the after hours... Oh, I've been watching so much Sopranos. I got the Paulie Walnuts devil sign going all the time now. Oh!
She's his fucking fiancée. Right,
oh, look. Oh! We got a big problem, T.
I bet decided... he does good at, like, rock and roll concerts, you know, Paulie?
He's like this.
Yeah. They're like, hey, no, Judas, twist it. You got to twist it.
Judas half... fucking priest now. Huh?
Well, he's going like this. They're like, no, twist it. Give it a half twist.
I don't like doing that, okay? I do it my way. You got a problem with that?
He knows I'm breaking his balls.
I'm going to do an exclusive performance in the after-hours show today. I've just worked it out. I tweeted about it last night, but it is Bruce Springsteen doing a somber Nebraska style-ish version of Little Deuce Coupe from our friends the Beach Boys. So that's going to be exciting. And finally, if you're a Patreon, please, this is breaking news, write this down, get your pad and paper out. Tomorrow night, we're back with another game night here in the OHL studios. The whole Trinity is going to be here with Matt, and Eric the Tornicola is going to join us as well. And we're going to play games with you, the Zoomers, the patrons only. So patreon.com/...
Office Hours Live.
It's not Patreon only, is it?
Yeah, it is.
I think it is. Game night?
Yep.
No.
No, we. That's what we said.
We did?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for standing up to the bullshit.
It's time to start creating a walled environment. We have to build the wall. Build the wall.
No more bridges.
No more fucking freebies jerking off. It's time we have our community. We know who you are. We love you very much. You pay a good price every month. I pay a very reasonable price. Anyways.
All right. We'll build the paywall.
Build that wall.
COVID-19!
Well, city of the day.
Build that wall.
We'll get to this very quickly.
Hold on. I got to get ready.
City of the day. Oh,
snuck up on me. Am I muted?
Uh-oh.
What's going on?
Nothing ever works. Look what you've done to this rock and roll. What happened? Yeah, where was your audio, Wes?
Yeah, we're running a little bit hot tonight. I can barely see the road from the heat coming on.
All right, just play it, Vic.
City of the Day is brought to you by... The City of... You better solve that problem over there, because we got video to play later.
Don't I know it?
City of the Day is brought to you by Vincent Gallo's Pole.
There it is.
high in the mix. Heavy in the mix. City of the Day is brought to you by Vincent Gallo's Pole, acclaimed model, actor, musician, painter, director, and former motorcycle racer. Vincent Gallo presents Vincent Gallo's Pole. It's a perfect all-purpose pole, suitable as a flag, stripper, ski, or vaulting pole. Take it anywhere and show off your pole in style. And guess what? It's got a lifetime warranty. So if it bends, breaks, or shatters during use, you'll get a brand new pole delivered within 4 to 8 weeks. Each stainless steel pole is hand-polished by Vincent himself and comes with a certificate of authenticity, so you know it's a genuine Gallo. Go to gallowspole.com and go to gallowspole.com. Use code BROWNBUNNY to receive 66% off. Okay, that's for all the Gen Xers out there who grew up, and for me at least, it was Buffalo 66. Buffalo 66. Big movie for me in college. Doug, confirm?
Oh, yeah.
What's it at, Christina Ricci?
That's Spanning that? Time.
Spanning Time. We're spanning time.
Wait, I got the drop.
What is it?
Spanning Time.
I lost track of him after that.
As a
movie.
Couple. We span time together.
People say Brown Bunny. I say I didn't see it. I never saw it. I never saw the real blowjob, apparently.
Well,
that's
I saw it. From my parents. I saw it.
You fast forward right to that
of
scene,
course.
Didn't you? No, I don't
Come
get
on. It's, it was a prosthetic penis, though.
Ah. Mm. Are you
large.
Sure?
Pretty sure. Maybe not. I don't
I'm
know.
Sure the audience knows. Let's take a Zoomer real quick. That's what this show is all about.
He had a beef with Roger Ebert. That.
Yeah, he,
I did
he put
like
a hex
that.
On him.
He put a hex. I like a fighter. I like a guy that's going to push. You know me. I push back. I fight for my art. I believe in what I do, despite critics. I say, fuck
Are
you.
You're not going to do it.
You motherfucker.
All right. Against better judgment, I'm going to pick someone with a name named Jeremy Tunafish.
That? Jeremy
this
Tunafish.
Could go
either way. Taking pictures from my parents.
Jeremy? What's up, Jeremy? What do you got? You look like a real nice guy, I guess. Gonna say something else. What do you got for me?
Well, I'm just having my tuna fish, and I had a question about legacy for you and the boys.
Okay. Is this some kind of video game or something?
No, we don't have the cheat codes.
The president now departed. President, former president. You know, he's got a legacy. If you were to depart today, what would your legacy be?
Oh.
At home, drawing pictures of mountaintops.
Very quick.
Drops, right?
I mean, listen, I think my
that's all they're gonna remember.
I think my contributions to art and comedy, music, entertainment will be discussed for generations.
Thank you, Tim.
I think there will be it's slow going at the moment. I think it's gonna take a while. You're gonna have folks like you and younger people growing up with this stuff saying, oh, well, that must have been so beloved in its day, right? That must have been just championed. And then the old folks said, no, it was very unpopular. People were very mad about it, you see. And they won't be able to wrap their heads around it because it'll then, in the future, be considered classic art. I'm not going to get no Kennedy Center. I'm not going to get no Mark Twain Prize. Maybe when I'm 99 or something.
Postmortem.
Right.
You'll be a real Van Gogh.
All the greats are treated that way, so I'm not too worried about it.
Exhumed. What about the boys?
Huh?
What about the boys?
Oh, those guys will be forgotten like the sands. Like the sands of time. The old, like the Grecian beach from the 1600s. The sand from that period. Mm. No one thinks about that sand.
Right, it's true.
Now, Vic, of course.
I'm still working on
Doug's going to get lumped. Unfortunately, Doug's going to get lumped into the Tim and Eric. When we talk about Tim and Eric, we talk about Doug's work. He's in that oeuvre, and Vic to some degree as well. But I think he's distinguished himself in some ways for some people because he's gone the hard politics route.
People like Vic.
I don't want to only be politics.
He's hard politics. I've done a lot of stuff that isn't politics,
but. You know, that's just because of the insanity that everyone, that's what I'm known for. But.
Well, in Biden's America, Vic, you're going to be, you have out, no more material. There's, I don't know what you're going to do. And I hate these people that are saying, you know, that Trump was bad for comedy and stuff. I mean, maybe comedy is just mostly bad.
Well, I mean, he just,
and it always has been.
Yeah, but he like broke the mold for politicians too. You had to rework, kind of what you did. You couldn't, the same, you know, bit that Fallon was doing for years isn't going to cut the mustard with him.
What was I watching?
Come on, man.
Oh, the Tiger Woods documentary. Okay. Oh. Tiger Woods documentary on HBO, one of these beautiful two-part deals, takes up many hours of my life. And it was very good.
You beat me to it.
I didn't know anything about that guy. It's a very sad story. It's the old classic, like, domineering father who forces his kid to do something every day and they've got a plan to turn him into a superstar, and it worked. Guy becomes the best golfer that ever played the game. And what got me, and this got me, is also when I watched that Wiener documentary.
What?
The Wiener documentary. Anthony Wiener.
Oh. I'm gonna have to cut this out. Dump it.
What?
I masturbate a lot.
No,
the Wiener duck.
What got me was when you reflect and look back on the late night jokes that happened during these stupid scandals.
Thank you, Anthony Wiener.
These sex scandals, whatever it is. It really is sick. It's gross. And it's not funny.
Have you seen my wiener?
And, you know, you have they show a clip of Jay Leno showing this. They built this whole thing. It's like a Price is Right kind of set where they're like, how many mistresses does Tiger Woods have this week? And they come out with like a number. And it's just like, it's all so great. You see it. When you see it in the context of this guy who is obviously fucked up, making all these terrible decisions. And I'm not like, you know, defending his actions or anything. But all these fucking late night people that come out and have these cheap jokes about other people's lives.
Lena and Lewinsky was like hardcore. And she's just this young girl. Too,
and
the time.
You hear the audience guffawing. Yeah. It's just like, fuck all you people.
We would never do such jokes.
Well, you know what? If I do, call me on it. And I try to keep it about, like I say, I try to keep it about the powerful, the people that, you know, I don't know. It just seems cheap to go after these people that are like, oh, no, he had an affair or whatever. I don't know. It just bugs me when I hear these bad, cheap jokes. Anyways, Jeremy, does that answer your question?
He's been muted, but he says yes.
He's nodding yes.
But what's Trump's legacy is going to be 500,000 Americans dead, right? And that's like, that's it.
Quarter of a million. That's,
no, we're at, we just crossed 400,000. We just crossed 400,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
4,500 died yesterday alone.
And the incitement of a incitement of a riot to try to overthrow the United States government. Which, if you watch the we'll talk about the inauguration a little bit later or throughout the show. Curious to hear your thoughts. Like, sure.
Yeah, many perfect phone calls he'll be known for.
But... it does, when you watched that, which, you know, we can have a whole separate discussion about, you know, the American empire as a you know, a force for good or bad in the world. And it's a bit, it's, you know, how the lie that that when we talk about freedom, we talk about all these things, the platitudes of it sometimes don't always come true for other people and all that stuff.
Come on.
But on the day... It is so laughable that those goons two weeks ago with their, you know, fur hats and Confederate flags, like it's that they were going to somehow stop the momentum of the American empire, you know, that they were going to stop. When you see the pomp and circumstance and the military and the patriotism and all that stuff of the inauguration, the Capitol, it was like, well, it was never going to work. It was never, they were never going to stop that raging river of, you know, the Bushes and the Clintons and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Good for good or bad. I'm not, you know, I'm saying like, I mean, I don't think they should have overthrown the government or tried to stop the process there. But it just is silly to look at two Wednesdays ago and then yesterday and see like, well, that was obviously always going to be the plan, that they were going to see this through. So, and there was Bernie sitting there. That was funny.
Yeah.
He looked good. He looked cozy. And I loved, and then Zach up there on the Zoom, he's got the on cinema version of
that's
that.
That's why I like Bernie. He's got the right attire. He's
people were upset about that, saying that if there's a double standard, because if a woman was dressed like that, she would have gotten all... But there was women at that inauguration that were dressed all kinds of wacky ways. Yeah. Look at the Lady Gaga looked a little weird. She was doing her thing.
She's supposed to, though, right?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
She's a weirdo.
And I saw a couple senators' wives who were wearing like what I thought were kind of like Burlington Coat Factory winter coats, you know, like just which I don't have any problem with. But, you know, there's all kinds of people wear whatever they want.
Burlington, Vermont.
Burlington, that's where it comes from, I believe. Or I think Burlington Coat Factory might come from Burlington, New York. I want people to look into that.
You know, who might know it. Jake Longstreth.
Is he on?
East Coaster, he is. Should we bring him in?
Jake, let's get to the bottom of this.
Lord, come on, man.
Jake!
Hey, what's up?
Not too much.
I'm here to earn your respect, Tim.
You got to. I don't know what we're gonna, how you're gonna do it, but today's your day to try. This is the opportunity you have. What's your plan? First of all, are you in a hammock or a rocking chair of some kind? Because I'm getting seasick.
I'm in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know how that's gonna work. If that's gonna be part of your respect plan.
I'll plant my feet on the ground.
Yeah, or put some wedges underneath there or anything.
Shims.
Get some shims out. Stabilize that rocking chair.
A lot of headroom, too.
I'm barely standing today, folks. I'm almost like that Elton John song. I'm still standing better than I ever was. I've got shaky leg syndrome.
Great stand-up.
What's that?
I do stand-up.
Wait, is that you now, Jake? Jake.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for the conversation to start.
I've never seen the show before. I've listened to it for years.
Oh, thanks.
And this is really cool to see. It's very pro. I had no idea it was so pro.
It's becoming kind of a TV show.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef created, dietitian approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the burger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Burger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. And get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50. OFFICEHOURS50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
You know, I can't tell the difference between this and those goons on late night that I have such ire towards.
Also, kind of getting a Joe Rogan vibe.
Easy now.
Oh, no.
Easy.
Or how about this? Howard Stern.
That's better. I'll take that. Okay. I'm the only guy standing. We need to do the I'm Still Standing song. We're going to cover that.
Anyway, the hour-long special is called An Evening with Tim Heidecker.
There you go. Did you hear about that? Stern plugged my stand-up special.
I did. That was very cool.
What a funny guy.
What a funny guy.
What a funny guy.
Calm down.
I'm really surprised by that still, because it seems like he's I love him so much, but he does often have bad taste in things. You know, he likes reality shows, and he likes like that band Creed or what's his band that he loves so much, that band that's Jake
Blink-182?
No,
is it Third Eye Blind or
no, it's the guy Train. He loves that band Train. So Jake,
the guys in Train don't love it that much.
Yeah, guys in Train are like, I mean, it's okay. a job. People seem to like it. Listen, can we let Jake get a word in edgewise?
Really amped up.
Tim, do you think that that stand-up special was the first time that you had crossed Howard Stern's desk?
No, I know that for a fact it's not, because we had done this, Eric and I had done this interview with one of these kind of TMZ style or Access Hollywood style things, and we were in a bad mood and decided to just kind of like goof on the woman doing the interview, and we sort of Baba Booey'd it. We were like dropping Baba Booey's during the interview. And then he got such a kick out of it. He was played the whole interview and was like talking about us. Like, look at these fucking guys don't give a shit. They're just, their bellies are all hanging out and they don't care, you know? But then JD, who works there, he came in and was like, oh, you got to watch their show and all this stuff. So he's seen it, but I don't know if he connected those two things, you know?
Right.
What's going on with you in general? Where are you at right now?
I'm at my house in Eagle Rock, Highland Park area. You know, it's been a quiet year. I've been painting a lot, been doing Time Crisis every few weeks. Definitely missing band practice and playing shows.
What have you been doing? Time Crisis just remotely, sort of just Zoom it. I saw you. I did one with you guys where you FaceTime.
I miss you.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing for like a year.
And Apple doesn't care.
No,
put out anything.
They're sending us mics finally.
Oh, nice.
I just got an email like, hey, we're going to send you mics a year into the pandemic.
And you're in a you're in a Grateful Dead cover band.
Yes, I am.
How do you want to approach this?
Well, it's great to talk to a fellow deadhead.
Did you see that? You saw my post with the Hey Jude, right?
I didn't.
Well, you did.
I did. Sorry, with Brent freestyling at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did some awkward covers. No doubt.
Yeah. Do you get into when you? What is the focus of the Grateful Dead cover band? Like, what do you try to focus on?
I mean, we focus on like the prime glory days of the band, which is for me, it's like late 60s into the mid 70s.
Right.
A lot of Europe 72 stuff.
Yeah. See, I can tolerate that stuff. In fact,
I would say like 90% of our stuff is Jerry songs. We do a few Bobby numbers. We do a few of the covers like Mama Tried and When I Paint My Masterpiece that Bob would do.
Right. But, and then they did that whole, one album I like of theirs is that Reckoning album where it's like just all their acoustic covers of mostly covers of country songs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of originals on there, too.
Oh, there is?
I think...
Well, they got The Race Is On by George Jones. Race Is On.
Yeah. Yep. And that's when Brent Midland had just joined the band. And I think it's fair to say that was, like, when their live vocal sound was at its peak.
Yeah, it kind of disintegrated after that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard you talk about how, like, you don't like the way their voices blend. And I understand that. Especially if you're, like... You know, like turning on like Sirius XM and you just go to the Grateful Dead station, channel 23. It's like, it's a running joke I have with my wife. It's like, we'll turn on the station and odds are it's like Bob Weir straining to hit a note yeah. just out of his range.
Yeah.
From like 1992 and Carbondale, Illinois.
And there's no excuse because it's like at that point they have the monitors, the sound is dialed in. It's not like they can't hear themselves.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
So anyway, the Reckoning album is great. And I think Europe 72 is great. I think the Skull and Roses live record is great. I think that like the Hunter Garcia songbook like is up there with the greats. I think there's
I don't know.
What, three dozen just absolutely amazing songs that Hunter and Garcia wrote.
What would those be for you?
I mean, I would just start with a lot of the stuff off American Beauty.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Ripple, Candyman.
They got that one album that everyone goes, but what about, I'm like, yeah, but what about the Birds? What about the band? What about Crosby, Stills, and Nash? It feels like there's...
What about them? Those are great bands too.
I just think it's weird that so much culture and, you know... tribalism kind of surrounded the Dead versus some of these other bands that I think are just the qualities.
Yeah.
Well, the Dead lasted forever and they basically invented the like stadium rock thing. But I mean, if you want to keep going through the songs though, it's like Europe 72, you have He's Gone.
Great song.
You have Ramble on Rose, Tennessee Jed.
Tennessee Jed, I could lose.
Okay.
Should I let you go?
If you're not a fan, you're not a fan. I'm just kidding.
Most of my dead hatred is just devil's advocacy.
Yeah.
And annoying people. But I'll give you my tolerable dead list that I put together a few years ago. Morning Dew, He's Gone, Great. Candyman, Broke Down Palace. I like Althea. That's a cool song. To Lay Me Down, that's a Jerry Garcia song, right? That's just a Jerry Garcia song.
Beautiful, but the Dead did it.
And Sugary, which is also a grateful Jerry Garcia mm-hmm. song. China Doll's cool.
Yep.
Scarlet Begonias.
Great.
It's kind of weird. That one I was listening to, was like, I could tell right away she listened to the blues.
I knew right away she was into the blues.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Stella Blue, that's a great song.
Uh-huh.
Casey Jones, you got to give Casey Jones to the, that's a fun song. It's a classic. Truckin'.
Yeah, I mean
the number one song, Touch of Grey.
Touch of Grey is great too.
touches. Yeah, I mean, sounds like you're a fan. I mean, and also
maybe I'm
that
a fan
sounds,
of the Dead. Do we have we figured that
I mean,
out?
I think you're a fan, Tim.
That was your theory, Doug, that I was actually a fan of the Dead.
You just listed like 15 great songs, which is more than like. Can you name like 15? Maybe you could name like 15 great Bird songs. I love the Birds. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
they just don't have like as deep a catalog, and their canvas isn't as big. I mean, what you just listed sounded like a Richard Pictures set list.
All right, I'm in.
There you go.
I've seen Richard Pictures play, and I can attest that that's a good time.
And, do you have two
Jake does a great job at singing and guitar.
Do you have two drummers?
Not now. We have in the past, and it was chaos.
It seems like it's chaos with the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, I mean, and we're playing bars, so it's tough. With like,
what was the reasoning behind them like having two drummers? Why did like one? Was there like step out now and
in
then?
In case
or
one
something?
Nods
like,
off, the other one picks it up.
Yeah, why? What the hell is that about? Why do you need two drummers?
Vibes. I mean, just to.
Wasn't it true though that Jerry Garcia, wanted out of that group? Like, once it turned into that kind of big corporate, machine.
I don't know if he wanted out. I remember in that big documentary, which I'm sure you watched.
Yeah, I did.
He's a fan.
I think he became. I think he was reluctant to embrace his role as like a icon. I think for the first 15 years of the band's career, it was like it was a real band, and he wasn't like a celebrity.
And he kind of stood out as like Jerry is God kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a victim of his own success.
I mean, it makes a certain degree of sense. I mean, he definitely was like the reason that band is great as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I can't dismiss his talent and his charisma, and like just like you kind of like the guy when you see him play, you know. You just kind of, he's just got a lovable vibe to him. The rest of the guys feel like you can switch any of them out.
Well, I think Lesh is awesome. Uh-huh. I think Bill Kreutzmann is awesome. I think Bill Kreutzmann is like
a good drummer.
Who's the one with the serial
underrated
killer eyes?
Underrated drummer.
Who's that guy?
What's that?
Who's the serial killer eyes guy? The play keyboards?
Oh, that's Brent Midland.
Oh, that one, he's creeping me out.
He came in just like, he came in to replace Pigpen or?
No, he.
Oh, Pigpen.
The Dead have had a real string of bad luck with their keyboard players because they started with Pigpen.
Right.
He died like in his mid, late 20s. Then they brought in Keith Godchow and his wife Donna, and then he died. And then they brought in Brent Midland, and then he died in 1990.
Jesus.
My God.
All drug related, right? All drug related?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Keith died from a drug thing.
Brent Midland was like a serious drug fiend.
I think so.
Right.
I think so is Jerry, and I mean.
Yeah. They're into it. And that's probably one of the reasons Jerry wanted to get off the road, too, is he was, you know, he also eventually died from drugs and the life living on the road.
I got a question real quick.
Go ahead.
Do you think that the band would have been better if Jerry had that finger?
Well, Jerry didn't lose that finger till a little later, right?
You know, you're talking to a kind of consumer grade deadhead here. I'm not pro level. I don't know every detail.
What day did he loses his finger.
It was early. It was, you know, before he was a musician.
No, I think it was like mid-career, honestly.
Dom says he knows why they had two drummers.
Well, I don't care what Dom thinks.
Well, the question still stands.
Dom should tell us when the finger got chopped.
You want to bring him in?
No, just let him know.
His teen years, but...
I think, no, because I happen to know, I was at the theater where it happened in San Francisco, the Warwick... In San Francisco, Warwick Theater. Warfield, I'm sorry, the Warfield, not Warwick Davis from the movie. What's that movie called? With the fantasy movie? Legend? People know what I'm talking about. The audience is raving about this moment.
Apparently he was 5 years old chopping wood.
There we go.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Who's chopping wood at 5 years old, Vic?
I don't like the Dead at all.
It could be just Mr. like a little mystique here. I don't know. It could be a made-up story. I don't know.
I had heard
that. He was real young.
Well, I heard that at the Warfield there are these cabinets, wood cabinets back there for storing like mics or stuff. And the guy there was like, Jerry was building these cabinets and cut his finger off.
Here we go. In 1946, two-thirds of four-year-old Jerry Garcia's right middle finger was cut off by his brother in a wood-splitting accident while the family was vacationing in Santa Cruz Mountains.
All right, now everyone get their pad and paper out, their pen and paper out, because mark this day. The day is January 21st. It is the only time on this show that I will have been noted as being incorrect through the year 2021.
This year.
Happy? Are you happy now? Jake, did you watch the festivities last night?
I missed them.
Oh, man.
Did you guys watch them?
I ended up watching it. My mom was over, and we ended up just kind of putting it on. And
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Did the Foo Fighters play?
Yeah. I can't take the Foo Fighters either.
Yeah, no. Not a fan. They seem a little heavy for an inaugural.
They're not that heavy. They've got that heavy, heavy sound, which is all like pedals and compression and stuff. But there's not like any kind of like energy there.
Grohl's just kind of yelling. I don't know. It seemed like a weird choice. Did they play like, there goes my hero? Like,
name your top 15 Foo Fighters.
They did. What's the song they did, Matt? You saw it. I don't know them.
Days Like These? Or
Days
Like These.
Times Like These.
But they stretched it to this like 10-minute rush jam with Roto-Toms and stuff.
They could have had Green Day out there doing Time Over Life.
I would have preferred Green Day.
You know who I realized is Jon Bon Jovi.
Fair enough.
We're going to watch this for a second. This is Jon Bon Jovi from last night. I don't think you'll be able to see it, but you should be able to hear it, which is fine.
Shoot. Sorry. I'm having all kinds of tech problems.
He does Here Comes the Sun, and him saying doot and doo-doo just doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work from a Jon Bon Jovi standpoint. Do you have it, Matt?
Was he really laying into it? Was it just like...
Sorry, I'm trying to get it.
He's become sort of like he's doing like a Mick Jagger thing. He's kind of like doing this weird way, like moving around like he's a showman.
Well, also
on the mic.
It was like a music video too, because they're not really.
They did something smart. They played at like in Miami while the sun was kind of setting, so that at some point in the song it kind of broke through the clouds. It was actually kind of neat.
Oh, I thought it was in Jersey.
Watch this though. Watch just the opening of this because. No, it's not him. Listen to this.
Come here, baby.
Stop it. He's doing this like I'm gonna fly like a bird.
Here comes the sun. Right. Here comes the sun. I say.
He's like just this doo 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 doo. That's enough. Thank you. I'm just resentful that him, of all people, of like from that era.
Yeah, that's.
He's the guy that keeps getting sort of doled out to us for all these things, you know. Like, what did he do after that "Living on a Prayer" album? That's like
"Slippery When Wet."
I mean, yeah, that album we got.
He did the one with Bryan Adams.
That's a great song.
That's
remember
him?
That one? Yeah, I think he's in that. Him, Rod Stewart, and Bryan Adams.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Wanted Dead or Alive. I mean, he had a lot of hits. He probably just made it clear to, like, the people in charge of these events that, like, I'm available.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
play. Yeah. I'm going to give you something that's, like, easy for everybody to just kind of have. You know, you're not going to have to. I'm not challenging anything here. I'm just going to. I'm a showman.
Yeah, it's like what in terms of the 80s like rock guys, who would you want to see out there? I mean, obviously Springsteen's already out there.
Well, that's what I'm a huge Bruce head. Like, I'm more of a Bruce head. I'm almost like I'm like a deadhead for Bruce, you know what I mean?
There's
like
almost a drop in there.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jello Biafra.
I love Bruce, and that's what makes me mad, cuz I see Bruce, who I think is like has maintained an artistic integrity for like 40 fucking years. Mm-hmm. Now, has it all been like slam dunks? No. I mean, he's obviously, you know, post Born in the USA, it's kind of like hit or miss and stuff. But But it's always been from like a, I have something I want to say. I'm an artist. I'm going to do it my way. That kind of stuff. And then he's sort of like, here's Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi. Like, I hate that they have to like kind of mingle together. I hate the idea that Bruce has to kind of be nice to John Bon Jovi because they're like both Jersey guys.
I've always wondered about that relationship because like when you hear Living on a Prayer, it's so clearly indebted to Bruce.
Yeah.
No. When you hear Living on a Prayer, yeah, exactly. It's a story about like a working class couple that's like struggling to get out of their like the doldrums of their life and like find this, like achieve this dream. And like,
yeah,
I love Living on a Prayer. I think that's like a great song, but yeah. I always wondered like when Bruce heard that in the mid 80s, if he was just like,
yeah.
Hmm.
Well, you not only do you have that, you have John Cougar Mellencamp.
Sure.
There too, a little earlier, and Bruce must have been like, dude, what the fuck is this now? Because Bruce,
did he play last night too, Mellencamp?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Oh, just in general.
These interlopers.
Tim, I got a question.
Coattailers
for both of you guys.
Go ahead, Doug.
So you're making fun of Bon Jovi because he's doing his dance, you know, but if you're the lead guy from a band, the front man, and you don't have an instrument, who does it right? There's the awkward parts when you're not singing and you have to.
Right. It's tough.
Well, that's got to be awkward. I mean, I would say if that was me, I would just strap on a guitar and not even plug it in.
Totally.
Just to do something.
And nobody would have batted an eye if John Bon Jovi did that.
Freddie
Mercury, 100%. He had half of a mic stand.
Right.
And he would dance with that.
Oh, yeah.
There's also like Steven Tyler with the
put some scarves. So, like, kind of like. He's like a bullfighter.
Yeah.
You have to like confuse the audience by making them look at the scarves.
No, but I do like the Johnny Cash, like because he wasn't ever really plugged in, I don't think, with his acoustic guitar. Just kind of like,
it's like having a rifle around you, prop it.
Yeah.
Also, you have Roger Daltrey did the stuff with his swinging the microphone around.
He was great.
Yeah. But Tim, what would you do if
Pollard was a great front man. Gene Ween, great front man.
Wait, Pollard had a guitar.
No, he didn't.
Not
for real. I don't know. Jake, you were in a Guided by Voices cover band too, weren't you?
20 years ago. Yep.
There we go.
That sounds like fun.
It was really fun. And our Bob Pollard was.
Do you like how he said that as opposed to the Grateful Dead?
That
sounds like fun.
That sounds fun. Less demand or less audience interest in a GBV cover band, but
right.
But our Bob Pollard was older than the real Bob Pollard.
And he's not a young buck.
No, this was a long time ago. But yeah, Bob would do like a Daltrey impression with the mic swirling. Yeah.
And have a cooler of beer on stage.
He's
of
always pounding beers, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was an incredible front man. In terms of, because it is like that's a tough position to just play a whole show just doing vocals.
Yeah.
You got to have some moves.
Morocco's like Davy Jones.
Yeah.
And eventually Mick Jagger said, like Steel Wheels Jagger was like, you know what? Give me a fucking guitar. I need to give me a guitar here.
Did anyone just stand there and patiently wait for their turn to sing?
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. I was watching this clip of the Monterey Pop Festival from 1968. You know, it's like there's a YouTube video. It's like 2 hours long and it's like, all the acts that weren't in the film, which I never really saw the film anyway, so it's just. But there was a bunch of bands back then, like the Association.
I love them.
They had like three or four guys in that band that just were like there for the backup harmonies.
I saw them live in the '90s, and the one guy actually sat in the like at the control booth across the room, and he's doing the sound and singing backup at the same time.
That's cool.
Yeah,
get it behind the boards.
And then there was a guy that was just doing flute, like he just had a flute solo, but that was the only time he really made an impact. I wonder what the splits were like with that group. Like those groups don't stay around too long because
they're always changing.
Yeah, I'm making 10 cents.
Yeah,
there
were like nine
gig.
Or 10 people in there.
How do people find your paintings? Can you buy your paintings? My audience isn't going to buy your paintings. They're probably $300,000 and bullshit like that.
You can see my paintings online on my website or on my Instagram.
It's the same as seeing them is the same as having them on your wall. What's the difference?
But they're big though. I mean,
the scale is But yeah, when you see them in person, it's fun because the scale is big. I mean, I show at the gallery in L.A. called Nino Meyer Gallery. And, you know, like an art gallery is sort of like, it's sort of like the analog to having like an agent. Like they represent your career. They try to help your career grow. They sell your work, obviously. They exhibit it. So I work with him. He's a great gallery. And I do exhibitions periodically. And
are you painting now? Or are you keeping busy?
Yeah. It's like I basically do it like 40 hours a week.
It's like your main, it's like your full-time job.
That's awesome. That's how I make a living. And I do like Monday through Friday, like kind of 11 to 6.
I'm so bad at art and visual arts. My kids are, you know, I try to do stuff with the kids, and I was like, I'm going to try to draw something, you know, give me like something to do. And I said, I'm going to draw a crab. So I drew a crab. I tried my best. You know, I had some colored pencils and I drew the crab based on the picture.
It's hard to draw though, Tim. You got to give yourself a little break here.
Well, I'll show it. How about I show that in After Hours? I'll show my crab drawing in After Hours.
I have a good video for After Hours for a front man who stands there like a statue.
Okay. Jake, I want to keep you on if you're around. Can you hang out?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Just hang out because I want to talk about the farewell.
That's the dead.
Really?
Do you know this song?
Fare thee well.
This is the best dead song I've ever
heard. Do you have a synth in your band?
This is my kind of music.
Oh, this is that thing you found. Uh-huh. Oh, you should put that up on the screen if you could send it to Matt.
I'll send it to Matt. We can watch that later.
That was cool.
This obviously got sent around the internet a little bit yesterday, but the pre-show for the inauguration yesterday was the farewell event for Donald Trump, who snuck out in the early hours of Wednesday morning with an embarrassing send-off.
Bye-bye.
I don't know if maybe, I guess it was very early on the East Coast, 8 a.m. on the East Coast, so it was 5 a.m. here, right? So we missed it. I was just probably lying in bed trying to sleep.
I know that feeling.
As you guys know, the president arrived and spoke and then left on Air Force One to go to Mar-a-Lago, where he will rot over the next several years, as we all do. And so
I am a young, vibrant man.
And so he arrives at Andrews Air Force Base from the White House on the helicopter. And now this is the video. We found that this was on C-SPAN. This is the mute. The sound is important here. This is what's pumping on the tarmac. Jake, the helicopter's approaching. What should we play? You know, could you imagine there's some discussion with the sound guy? Like, we have the mic set up. Yeah, do you want us to... why should there be any music playing?
Also, we have a whole military band right here we can play. They know a lot of songs.
This is the documentary I want to see. Is why all this music? And it feels like it's... Just play music! Anything with a podium. There's got to be music blasting. Can't there just be quiet reflection as the helicopter... Like, you can't hear it anyways because the helicopter's so loud. Just chill on the music for 10 minutes.
I feel like I also saw on Twitter that maybe they were blasting Fortunate Son.
There was,
the millionth time.
Yeah, they play that. Of course, they play all the Elton John. So this helicopter spends 20 minutes getting... Now, at this goodbye ceremony, Pence doesn't show... I mean, what a fucking final insult to this guy that his vice president doesn't show up. I don't think any of the... McConnell or any of those people showed up, right?
No, they weren't.
None of the congressional leadership. Did any of his cabinet show up?
His, was it Mark Meadows? Is that
his
the guy?
His chief of staff who became his best buddy towards the end there.
He's there.
And then the children. And so I just wanted to show the last moment of the speech, Matt, if you could go to that. This is his sign off. where's the last moment of his...
much done that nobody thought would be possible, but I do want to thank Congress, and I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with.
Something.
Put this miracle together.
So, miracle.
Have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a good life. Yeah, we skipped that.
Have a good life. See you soon.
Have a good life. Have a good life. Who says have a good life?
You say
have
that to someone when you're like, fuck off.
It's a fuck off line.
Yeah, when you divorce.
Have a nice life.
Oh, yeah.
Bye forever.
That is epic.
Where is it again?
Good luck.
Good luck. Is good that luck. You, Vic?
Put this yeah. miracle together.
I feel like so, I've said have a good life to someone as in a joking way when like you run into someone that you knew a long time ago and you both understand that you really won't see each other again.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're like, whew.
Or like, it's like something someone... I would have written on my eighth grade yearbook, you know, yeah, to some, yeah. some girl, you know, have a good life. and then, so then he, sorry, what were you going to say, Jake?
I was going to say, Tim, if you were President Heidecker, leaving the White House on your final day, what's your send-off song?
Hey Jude by the Dead.
Well, I don't want to just jump to an answer here. I got to reflect.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Just off top.
I don't have an answer either.
I would say River by Joni Mitchell, maybe.
Ooh.
Down to You, Joni Mitchell. Anything on Cord and Spark. Yeah. Something reflective, something beautiful, something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can we watch the send-off? Let's watch the send off.
Yeah, let's see. There we go.
Wait, no, go back. I want to see him kiss the kids.
You gotta go back.
You gotta go back to the. This is my favorite part. Go. Is okay. Here he goes.
I thought he was gonna take a dive down the steps there. That would have been the perfect ending.
That perfect ending was falling down the steps that he feared so much. There's goodbye to Ivanka. No, watch Laura. He loves. He wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
Eric goes for a kiss. Eric kiss Don. No eye contact. No eye contact. Oh, who are you again? Who are you?
Eats her hair.
Who are you? Oh, this is the boyfriend. That's.
Oh wait, then Mark Meadows runs out here.
Don't forget me, sir. Hey! Hey! What about me? What about me? Where are you going, sir? Hey! I just want to say goodbye, dude. I kicked my ass for you.
Oh wait, keep going.
I don't. This, sorry, keep stopping.
Here he goes.
Hey, I just want to say goodbye. You got my number, right, Rob? Okay. Yeah, call me anytime. Yeah, shit. I can't stress this enough, gang. We're not piping this music in. This was there. This is what everybody was listening to as they watched him walk up Air Force One for the final time after he lost badly. And refused to concede and tried to overthrow the government to stay in power. He walks up the steps into Air Force One to YMCA! You're gonna have to fucking... People are not gonna understand... People are not going to believe this. It will be assumed that this was something that fucking Trevor Noah added. No. If you're the fucking guards over there with the rifles, what is going through your head is YMCA is blasting.
Right.
How is this happening?
Honk,
anyways.
Honk.
I know it's trite. I know it's
hacky.
It's just
insane.
You really can't just not talk about this.
No, I mean, I really wonder what his relationship with music is. I mean,
he has no connection at all.
Well, I don't think that's true, actually. We've talked about this on Time Crisis before. Like,
thank you for pushing back on these guys behind me, Jake. They deserve
it. He definitely has like name checked Neil Young quite a few times. And then specifically, we've talked about this before. I remember there's a Ricky Nelson song called Garden Party.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Great song.
It's a very
good
song.
And that's about sort of like the time Ricky Nelson played sort of an oldies reunion act at Madison Square Garden, and it didn't go over so hot. And he wrote a song about how he's just up there singing his old songs, and everyone was there to see his old songs, and no one wanted to hear what he had to say.
Right.
And Trump somehow referenced that in an interview where he was sort of like, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in Garden. He like specifically like had like, huh. like it was clearly he had thought about Garden Party and it had internalized
right.
like the story of Garden Party.
And it was I remember about just, him.
We were just like, wow, like what?
Well, he like references musicians like Neil Young and all these people because he wants people to know that they met him, that he met him. He right. met, like, because there's pictures of him with Neil Young in Trump Tower on his wall, you know, and same with Steven Tyler and everything. He loves the celebrity aspect of it.
Right.
I don't think he listens to anything. I don't think he like connects with anything in the world other than
nothing
himself.
Like no nothing art, on a cultural level. Nothing on like this yeah. moves me for because of right. the art.
And
that,
in the Garden Party song, he might have just like heard someone else talk about it too. Like it might have been on like you know, right. Fox News or something. I don't know.
I mean, the Elton John stuff seems legitimate that he considers Elton John like a great. Like one of his favorite artists, I guess. He right. played at his wedding and stuff.
Yeah.
So. It's oh, one wow. of the few places where Donald Trump and I probably agree. Because I'm a fan of Elton John.
We like Dick, yes.
you know that this is also was covered on the show. Donald Trump introduced Bob Weir at a Bob Weir and Rat Dog show in 2006.
How did that happen?
We actually had Bob on the show and asked him about it. And he was like, well, yeah, one of Bob's friends is like a real estate developer in New York.
Sure.
And Trump was like, oh, you're going to the Bob Weir show? Let me come. And then he basically like talked his way into being like, let me just go on stage and introduce you. And like Bob Weir was telling us like, yeah, he didn't have any interest in me. Like, he didn't say one word to me. But then he gets on stage.
He just wanted to be on stage.
And he fronted like he and Bob are old friends.
Oh, boy. Is there and a video of that?
There is. And oh. he also said, like, no one's played MSG more than Bob Weir. No one's played the Grateful Dead. They played MSG four. He said some outlandish number. Like,
right,
they
right.
played MSG 435 times. It's like made up some super specific outlandish number.
Right.
And then was just like out.
Yeah,
like see ya. Truly, truly psycho.
Not there to see the show. Not there to jam. No.
Because I'm cognitively there.
We have that clip if you want.
Oh, really? They have the clip. These guys are pros.
Wow.
Roll the clip.
It's just audio.
I can't really make it out.
It's just audio. It's not a video.
Let's scoot ahead a little bit. That wasn't him.
Scoot ahead.
I like how we're retreading Time Crisis material.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Nobody has sold out Madison Square Garden more than Bob.
He's talking about Bob Dylan. He must have thought he was getting pranked.
We also have a lot of dogs, and they're great dogs, and we cherish them.
Hey, Vic.
Yeah.
Is Little Deuce Coupe a Jan and Dean song?
No.
Well,
no.
Is it written by?
It's possibly early on written by
Jan and Dean.
Jan and Brian. Possibly.
Oh, I didn't realize it was crossover.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at, because later in the After Hours, I'm going to do a Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska-style cover of Little Deuce Coupe.
Written by Brian and Roger Christian.
Okay.
Oh, Roger Christian.
But on the Google, it says about artist Jan and Dean. So they obviously did a cover of it. But the Google algorithms have assigned it to Jan and Dean.
I love pretty music.
What was the Brian Wilson-Jan and Dean relationship?
Vic?
Anyone know?
I mean, they're competitors, I guess, and buds and everything.
Jan and Dean showed up just a little before the Beach Boys, right?
No, I think they were slightly after, probably. Oh, okay. I think they were just
they
right
used to
after.
Hang out at the beach together. What else is there to...
And I think Dean was a little goofy, you know, and they started making some psychedelic records, and then I think they kind of fell apart after the accident.
What was the accident?
Dean wrapped his truck or car around Dead Man's Curve.
And died?
No. Oh, no. He had a lot of mental problems.
Where's Dead Man's Curve?
I don't know where it is, but it's like they have a song about it where they're racing, you know, and that's where it happens. And I think that actually happened to Dean. He got in a car wreck.
Wait, they made the song first, then they got into the crash?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How nice.
Yeah.
Vic, do you know what Jan and Dean thought of like Pet Sounds and Smile era stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they like loved it and wanted to do it because they did start making some psychedelic records around that time. I can't remember what they're called, but something about
Are those
circus.
Good?
They're okay.
There's a lot of those. Like, isn't there right. that Chubby Checker psychedelic?
Yeah,
record?
There's the Checkered record. There's a whole bunch. Mm. Even the Stones did it. You know, with
Satanic.
Well, sure.
But there's so many. Yeah, they all have their psychedelic. Even like who's the guy you mentioned? The Garden Party guy. I think Rick Nelson had a psychedelic record.
Kenny Rogers had a psychedelic record.
Yeah, they all did their
It was
sound
in, it was in vogue.
Smile kind of thing. Yeah.
Let's see what Adam from The War on Drugs knows about.
My special guest, Jake. Do you know Adam? Adam, do you know Jake?
I've never met him, but I'm a big fan of his work. I mean,
that's exciting to hear.
You have to unmute on your side, Adam.
Adam?
There we go.
You had to have been on a Zoom before. Are you too cool for Zoom?
Zoom new.
Hey, look who it is, my pal.
What's going on, bud?
Hey, good to see you.
What's up, Jake?
Not much. Nice to meet you.
Get up, too. Jake. What's that, the band? Get up, Jake. Let's jam on that. Let's get together, the three of us. We'll jam on band tunes. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, man. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, hanging in. You got an REM poster behind you?
Yeah, I got a big Life's Rich Pageant poster right there.
What are you, in your 16-year-old girl, 16-year-old sister's bedroom or something from 1988?
I wish. No, I got my... Petty poster I ripped off the wall.
This is very cool.
At the Riv in Chicago.
It does look like you've got one of those fake Zoom backgrounds, and it is like a bedroom from 1988.
You want to see my dolls?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yes. But wait, what? Pan right again, or pan the other way? Pan to your left. You got a Roland Echo box up there.
Oh, yeah, we got a Chorus Echo up there.
Just ready to go. You never know when you're going to need that.
All patched in.
Because you never know. Because do you write with effects?
I barely write anymore.
Okay.
But if I were to, yeah, it helps to write with effects. Or like, I actually just bought a, like an 8-track tape machine because I missed writing in like this tactile way other than just like turning on the screen, you know? So
right.
I used to write more with effects are more just like other ways of kind of hearing what you're working on. It's like slowing the tape down or just dubbing stuff out and letting something new happen or whatever.
So like you'd make a loop or something. I'm jumping to some conclusions here, but you might get a loop going and then start writing off of that loop.
Yeah. I used to make like, plug the tape machine right into a sampler and then sample right onto the sample and then put that back on a fresh tape.
So what do you mean you don't write no more? You done? You hanging it up?
I mean, we've been working on a record for a long time, but I mean, like this whole year, like there's nothing new, you know,
nothing to say.
I don't know if it's no time or what, but yeah. I mean, we just keep working on the same 14 songs I've been working on for 4 years.
Well, let's lock it. Let's wrap it up. I mean, this is like, it's like George Harrison with All Things Must Pass, you know?
I know. We're wrapping it up pretty soon, actually.
At some point, George Harrison was like, I think, how many tracks do we have? I'm like, dude, you've got like a triple album here. So you better, let's just nail this. Let's just lock this in. So you got to lock it in, Adam.
We're locking it in. No, we're on our way of locking it in.
And you've done what a lot of artists do. Since there's been this gap of time, you've put out a live album in a year.
Yeah,
that
we did.
In a year that maybe you would have been going around playing shows, or were you going to be off anyway?
No, I think we would have been on the road by
summertime.
Yeah, I think by October or August we were supposed to be out there. But yeah, we put it together pretty quickly, and we had all this material recorded, and it took maybe a couple months to go through it all. But we did a lot of that actually. I'm getting my years confused, but
yeah,
2019 in the summer. We did a lot of like the excavating, you know, and then
you have like, do you tape all the shows?
Well, I think inadvertently, because nowadays, like all the bands that tour, we all have these digital front of house consoles.
Yeah, it just does it automatically.
They all multitrack. Yeah, they do it for like sound check and stuff. So inadvertently, you get everything multitracked every night.
Are you going? Are you doing that David Byrne "Stop Making Sense" thing? You're going in there and re-recording everything?
Oh, I wish. You know, the extent of my David Byrne-ness is probably not wearing shoes all that often.
But, how many splinters do you think those guys deal with every night with those American Utopia running around without shoes on? Are they wearing shoes backstage?
I don't think there's, you know, one of my band members, John, our sax player, he was in that St. Vincent David Byrne band for a while.
Oh, really?
And, or the whole time, I guess. And John hates bare feet. Like, hates bare feet. So every night was like this. But they play on like a strip of padding. The whole stage is padded.
Sure. There's
probably
an orthopedic consideration being made, ergonomic stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this public knowledge? I should have asked you this off the line, but are you a dad?
Yeah. Almost 18 months. Yeah.
That's a congratulations from us, Vic.
Thank you.
Congrats. Yeah.
Do you have any music?
What's up? What's up, Vic? How you doing, man?
Great.
To find a nice driver.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's 18 months old. His name's Bruce.
Bruce, after my boss.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Good name.
Wait till you hear my cover of Little Deuce Coupe. I'm doing a cover of Little Deuce Coupe. Bruce, should I give you a little taste of it right now?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny when you do that Nebraska-style thing. It's so it's just so obvious. You know, wait, where's the lyrics? Here's a Little Deuce Coupe. You can just get right into it. Yeah, I'm not bragging, baby, don't put me down. Out the fastest set of wheels in town. Someone calls me, don't even try. I said a wings man, I know she could fly. She's my little deuce coupe. You don't know what I got. I mean, it's obvious. He could do that to anything. He could do YMCA.
Can you do YMCA?
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. Fun to stay at the YMCA. Anyways, I got them all wrapped up here. People are bailing on the after hours now after they got that preview.
All right.
Adam, we have Adam and Jake, we have what's becoming a very popular game for music heads. If you're interested in playing it, here's the general gist. We read you an artist. You know, this is generally going to be in the classic rock category.
Yep.
Broad classic rock. You have to guess their Instagram follower account number. And
like how many they have? Account?
Not how many they aspire to have, but how many they actually have. And it's going to be like Price is Right. So the closest person to the number wins. If you go over, you lose.
Okay.
It's an exciting game. But Matt,
Oh, shoot, is the doc not linked? It should be linked. It's in there.
I don't see it.
Is this the official band accounts or the personal accounts? Or
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Here's the information I'm going to provide for you. The name of the band, the handle of the band, and whether they're verified or not. I can also give you their, if they have a bio or something written. So that's all kind of information to help you come to your answer.
Is Doug playing too?
Yeah, and since we want one of the guys to kind of run the sound effects game show vibe, Doug will be playing today. Is
really?
That
okay? All right. Yeah.
Are you ready? Is that Adam? Are you okay with this?
I'm in.
What if he's like,
way in,
dude? We did not discuss this, and I'm not prepared. I don't want to look like an idiot, but we'll just get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the first band on Instagram for you to guess the number, and Doug's going to go first here since he's played this game before. Jefferson Starship!
Let's go with...
Hold on a sec. The account, handle is at Jefferson Starship Official. The information, it is verified, and the bio contains only this. JeffersonStarship.com.
48K.
$48,000. Lock it in for Doug. No way. 48,000 followers for Jefferson Starship. We built this city. Of course, they started as Jefferson Airplane. Then they switched to just Starship. Then they returned to Jefferson Starship and had a nice resurgence in the 1980s. Let's go to Jake Longstreth.
I'm going to go 18.5K.
18,500 followers for Jefferson Starship on the Instagram social media
platform.
And
you can't go over or just the closest?
Closest wins.
Okay.
Well, you can't go over.
Yeah.
You could bust. You could bust. I'll say that to you, Adam. You have the opportunity.
I was actually going to say exactly what Jake said, so I'm going to go. I'm actually going to go. I'm going to go to 17,000.
17,000.
Oh, that's an interesting.
17,004 Jefferson Starship. The actual follower count for Jefferson Starship is 8,714. Everyone bust.
Should have done a one.
Wow. Somebody
one
should follower. Have gone $1.
Gotta do the one follower. Maybe it should just be closest.
No. Yeah,
whatever.
So it's anyone's game.
There you go.
It's only 8,700 for the verified. They're not very active. I don't think there's any original members in Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship at the moment. Never. I think they're all dead or not interested. Somebody was telling me the book on them, there's a biography on them that's really good. Or it might be an autobiography of one of those. But
I'd rather watch the doc. I ain't reading the book about that.
All right. Are you guys ready for round two?
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Winter!
Frankenstein man?
Mr. Frankenstein, Edgar Winter. The handle is Edgar Winter Official. Now, here's something for you to consider very closely. Not verified by Instagram. In the bio, we have keep on rocking with an exclamation point.
Am I first again?
Doug, it's to you.
4,066.
Rocket, man. Okay.
But in honor of Vincent Gallo from earlier.
We got, of course, if you don't know Edgar Winter, really, I think we're only... Can you guys think of other Edgar Winter songs besides Frankenstein?
I know one.
Was he a one-hit wonder? Is there another one that's just out of my grasp right now?
Godzilla?
No, that's
Blue Oyster Cult. No, he had another song, I think.
He must have. Ba-dum-bum-bum, ba-dum-bum-bum.
No, I don't think he did any of the other songs.
He was a...
Free Ride.
Albino.
No, Free Ride was Foghat.
He had the albino condition.
I'm just looking up. No. He does have a song called Free Ride. I don't know if that was...
Slow Ride was Foghat.
He was not blind?
He was albino, I believe. But I don't think he was blind.
This is Edgar Winter Group.
Okay. Adam, are you an Edgar Winterhead?
Oh, okay.
I don't really know that
Johnny
much.
Johnny Winter.
You don't know much about him.
Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, no.
I mean, I remember that video of Frankenstein's pretty funny because he plays all the instruments in it, I think. Or he does all the solos on a synth. But
he jams on that synth like a guitar shredder.
It's pretty good.
He's good.
Good. Jake.
And he's got a good vibe, too.
I like Doug's guess. I'm going to go 5,700.
5.7?
Sorry, 5.7.
5,700.
Exactly.
No, not really a point decimal situation. Okay, 5,700. Adam, that's to you. We have Doug at 4,000, Jake at 5,000.
Yeah. I'm going to say 3,620.
Okay, 5, 4, 3. You guys are all, you guys are like sharks all hanging around the same fish there. All going after the same sad white fish. Sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, but the actual count is, get ready for this. Please take a seat if you are not sitting. 226.
Wow.
If you're last, you got to just say one follower.
Yeah, Adam, that's a little advice for you. I don't want to tip the scales too much, but it's not a bad strat.
That was pathetic.
One more, ladies and gentlemen, and then we'll move on.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all. This is it.
All right.
The artist in question is formerly of Loggins and Messina, Kenny Loggins, probably a little bit more famous as a solo artist. We've got the official handle at The Kenny Loggins. This is a bit of a surprise. Not verified. So somebody on the Kenny Loggins social media team not exactly keeping up their relationship with the Instagram folks. And the bio reads, official and only Instagram account verified by the link posted on Facebook and KennyLoggins.com, wingman T at KL.TinManMerchandising.com. That's, you got some Kenny for us, Adam?
Oh, man.
Go ahead, give us a little Kenny.
I was just playing along to what you were playing.
Is that Danger Zone?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Well, it's cutting out because
Zoom is bad for live playing. All right, Doug, it's to you. Kenny Loggins.
I guess this is it.
This is winner takes all scenario.
If this is it, I'm going to say 48K. That's just the number that keep coming to my head. You know, it's not.
Wow.
Isn't that that's some kind of frame rate or some kind of audio thing, right? 48.
Right.
You're trying to be cool with Adam, trying to talk music.
That's the compression rate he uses.
What's the compression rate on the new live War on Drugs album?
48. Everything's 48.
Now, is that available in FLAC?
Oh, yeah.
I'll put that live Drugs album on and just pretend I'm at one of your shows. I'll put the headphones on, close my eyes. Dream that I'm there. I had such a good time with you in those Philadelphia shows. That was a blast.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
If you were at that, that's going to be legendary. Because
we have those dates. Actually, we should do that next volume two.
Oh yeah, I had we the whole band. If you can imagine this, boys, the whole band came out and joined me on a cover of Hot Piss.
That was
Yellow River Boys.
Brought the house down.
Oh, I mean,
we did that Petty tune.
Yeah, what Petty song was that again?
Straight into darkness.
Straight into dark. Great deep Petty cut. That
really deep. Yeah, I didn't know it. I think until probably a couple months before that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great about this day and age when you can stream and stuff. You could go and listen to these deep cuts that you never grew up listening to. It's like finding a whole new treasure trove.
Yeah.
What did you think of did you dig into the Wildflowers box set?
I did. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I love it. You know what I really loved actually was that there's that Rick Rubin podcast, Broken Record.
Yeah.
But he had on
his daughter.
His daughter. And that one blew my mind because she's like, she was so deep with his catalog.
Yeah.
And it's like a really good companion to that record because they go through a lot of the tunes and she's really invested in the whole thing. It was really great.
So let me ask you this. Did you, obviously we're about the same age probably, right? 40 something?
Yeah, 41.
Yeah. So you obviously grew up with that music like I did. Was it something you were not into when you were, how did that become, how did that end up influencing your music? It couldn't have been right away.
Actually, I think Wildflowers was like a contemporary record for when I was in high school. Like,
yeah.
I really loved that. Like came out and I think I probably got hip to it from like Mary Jane's Last Dance, like the greatest hits.
Yeah.
And then Wildflowers came out and I think that was kind of my introduction to Petty.
But did your early music is War on Drugs your first band or did you have bands before that?
Pretty much my first band, yeah.
Did it have a Petty influence early on? Because I hear like some Petty influence in your, more recent records. But was it there from the beginning or did that creep in?
I think it creeps in. I think like, it takes, at least for me, it took time to, it's still always like a journey, but like how do you arrive at something that feels natural? You know, it's right. Like, I think some of his like petty stuff just feels so effortless, like his songwriting.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, production, you know, the sound of like, especially like Full Moon Fever was something that I think when we all started, you know, we loved the sound of that record, but yeah, it takes a while, you know, I don't think that, I mean, I think in. I always loved his catalog, but it's not something where from the beginning I was really confident enough to, you know, be channeling that.
I just think it's cool because I love your records and I love the fact that it's very, it's kind of like, how do you wrap your head around the popularity of your music? Because for me, it feels like it almost shouldn't be. It should be like my, it should be ours. It should be like, still should be like it, but it also has this broad, you know, it like, you know, my dad loves it, but also like young, cool dudes like it and girls like it. It feels like it's almost like this miracle.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, like, you know, my dad, he's 88.
I got to meet your dad.
That's right. That's right. Of course. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of turned him on to, like this, me being in a band and having friends in the band and everything, like turned him on to rock and roll after 88 years. went out and like bought all the records that, you know, we got compared to. He's like, I bought Dire Straits, Bob Dylan. I was like, oh, which Bob Dylan did you buy? He's like, Time Out of Mind. I think I told him to get Time Out of Mind.
Yeah, that's a nice intro.
He doesn't like that one, but but yeah, I don't know. I don't really, we're grateful for being able to do what we do, but
yeah. I'm not asking you to defend it or anything. It's just kind of, it's interesting. It's like,
yeah, no, we're so grateful.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you. Cause you and the guys in the group, I'm telling you from my, you can count on me. These are good guys.
Yeah. They're a good group.
All right. Hi, Kenny Loggins. Speaking of good guys, Kenny Loggins is one of the greatest. People don't know this. He held everybody together back in the 80s. Everybody went through Kenny. Everybody went through Kenny. If you wanted
to go through Kenny.
Yeah. Kenny's not verified. Again, the bio, official and only Instagram verified by the link posted on Facebook and KennyLoggins.com. Wingman at KL. TinManMerchandising.com at the Kenny Loggins. What's our follower count, Doug?
Didn't I say 48?
Doug's locked in at 48.
Sorry,
I'm
locked in. You still there, Jake?
I'm here.
How'd you like my interview with Adam?
It was great. And I'd just like to jump in on the popularity of War on Drugs. I would say I think it's rare for something to kind of like low-key rock, but also be very beautiful.
Yep.
I think there's something there.
That's what I was getting at.
Yep. Anyway, I'm going to guess... I'm going to guess 1,200.
Huh. I get that.
Somebody better win this one, I hope. Yeah.
I'm gonna go up. I'm gonna go 88K.
88K for the great Kenny Loggins riding into the danger zone.
Yeah.
Big spread here. Yeah.
The answer is, I'm trying to figure out who won this. Is there an actual winner here?
Yeah.
There is an actual winner, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll highlight it.
Thanks, Red. Thank you. There is an actual winner. The winner is from Echo Park and wherever else he grew up, Jake Longstreth with 1,200. Oh, wow. The actual account is 26,500. So, it's a little bit of a, I don't know, a misdirect, I think, by the not verified and the silliness of Wingman at KL at TinManMerchandising.com. congratulations, Jake. You win $500,000 courtesy of Three Stooges Coffee. What do you have in there, Adam? A little cup of Joe?
A little cup of Joe.
Where did you record your new album? Sit back and relax.
All over the place.
All right.
It,
Stacks.
Electric Lady. Ooh. We started there.
Wow.
We did LA. We did like United, Vox.
Wow.
A lot of Sean's place. This other place in Echo Park.
Did you, who produced it?
Sean Everett.
Oh, Sean Everett. Did he do your other records?
We did the last one together too.
He's got the sound dialed in.
Yeah, we met.
He's got all the presets.
Yeah. He's on another level. He did the that new SZA song.
Who?
He mixed that new song by SZA. It's fucking incredible.
SZA. Jake, yeah, you know SZA?
Yeah, vaguely. I'm aware.
That new track is awesome, and the song is awesome, and Sean, like, they hit off a little friendship, and, like, he mixes track for her, and it's like, I listen to it all the time.
RZA's sister.
It's RZA's sister, SZA. How do you spell SZA?
I like Olive Garden.
S-Z-A.
S-Z-A, Tim.
S-Z-A.
It's awesome.
Did he do Casey Musgraves?
Right? Yeah, he mixed her big record.
That record's great. I love that record.
It's a great record. He engineered and mixed the that big Alabama Shakes record.
Right. He's a master.
And he does everything. He's a crazy he's like the only person I've ever met that will go on like the whole journey with you, you know?
Right.
I love doing it. So I mean, we'll just keep rethinking a song or remixing or doesn't feel right, so you kind of scrape it and start again. And he's never ever once in, you know, 6 years of making music together has been like, I think it's fine, you know.
Wow.
He'll always go through. It's
sometimes you need that though, right? You need somebody to like positively reinforce what you know, like, you're good, man. It's good.
Right. Yeah. I think there's enough on the peripheral who will do that.
Right.
But yeah, he's a special dude.
Well, we'll get him on the show.
Oh, man, you love it.
Does the new record have a title?
Not yet, no.
He's like the Phil Spector of our era.
Yeah.
I'm a little sick. I mean, does anyone feel that you can also, you can give Phil Spector some credit with and not worry about, like people on Twitter are like, he's a murderer and a monster and he's dead and I'm so happy. Dude, fucking Wall of Sound. I mean, come on. Got to give Phil Spector a little credit for something. Nobody?
He made this Wall of Sound before he murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, the murder was decades later, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Adam?
I don't know.
And he influenced
Yeah, I mean, there was I definitely, mean, like, a, there was a definitely attempted murder somewhere before the actual
yeah.
murder.
That's true.
Right.
But I mean, can you separate the art from the artist? Can you say, listen, the guy was made music better. He did important, significant things that enriched our lives, and he's a monster.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't necessarily have one without the other. I mean, you know, he did some incredible shit in the studio, and
so you're glad he killed that woman. No comment.
But you know,
I'm trying to get Adam in trouble at the last minute here. Well, people are saying well, he ruined All Things Must Pass. That feels like a little revisionist, too. Because, I don't know, we were all happy with All Things Must Pass until suddenly George Harrison says it has too much reverb. And then I go, well, I guess I agree. Whatever.
I want to hear the tapes, because that's the whole thing with Harrison. He's like, when they were sitting around, when they were recording it, they were sitting in like a small circle.
Yeah.
And the headphones were like super dry.
Right.
And then they go in there, obviously, and it sounds like they're in like a massive
church, like in a cathedral.
Church chamber. And obviously he was like, that's not what we were just vibing off. But I want to hear like,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind hearing that record like the way they heard it when they were playing it too.
I don't think that exists because it's all baked in. The reverb's baked into the tape. So.
Well, he's saying there's a dry run.
Well, there might be like rehearsals that didn't have the
Let Steve Albini mix it.
I think it's the master tapes. So I'm sure they didn't print a lot of that stuff. So,
but once it's burbed, it's not. There's not like a dry setting.
No way to reverb it.
You can get one of those Beatles cover bands to just go in there and redo it.
Yeah,
there's guys on YouTube that are like, I'm on like a weird YouTube rabbit like algorithm thing where it's all these guys that are replicating exactly how to record like a Beatles song, you know, like they've got
my friend Clay at Boulevard in Hollywood does that.
Really?
Yeah.
These are the same Neumann 1893 T mics used, the same cabling, and we've got it going in through this Hunhauser processor that is exactly that they, and it never sounds as good. It just doesn't, never works. Kind of works. It's interesting. I end up watching it. Lying in my bed.
Yeah.
Out 40 minutes of this guy. This is how you get the Ringo Starr drum sound. What am I going to eventually do with this information? All right, I got to go because the show's over.
You know what we forgot today?
What?
The actual city of the day. We were so
oh, my goodness. What is... Well,
okay, sneak it in real quick.
And we have a predictor.
What is the predictor?
It's Ben Jolly.
Sorry, guys. Should we let our boys go here?
Yeah, we should.
Adam, I'm so glad you got to do the show. I'm so happy for you.
Love your show.
I love you. And thank you for... thank you for your... Our mutual admiration for each other is legendary now.
Unbelievable.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, guys.
Jake?
See you later. See you, Jake.
Nice to meet you.
Jake, final thoughts from you?
Goodbye! I'm still thinking about Phil Spector and George Harrison, and I'm surprised George couldn't push back a little bit, but that's maybe a convo for another day.
It's definitely another conversation.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Maybe we can do it again.
Absolutely.
And
thank you very much indeed.
What's... I'll talk to you later. Congratulations right. on
have
playing
nice
the
life.
Game. Have a nice life.
Peace out.
All right, let's bring in the winner.
Sven Jolly.
Oh, and do we have any super chatters to say thank you to?
Probably.
No, you didn't get to that.
Lots of technical difficulties. Wow.
I see a picture of pie on the screen.
Sven
what that
Jolly,
is
that you? Hello. Is that, is he just a pie today? Oh, yellow. This is.
Is that mashed potatoes? Is it stuffing?
Or is it hummus?
I don't know.
It looks. Tuna fish, that's not me.
Who?
Where's Sven Jolly?
Fish or something.
That's tuna fish though. Sven Jolly, speak up.
Hey, speak up, you rat.
You guys hear me?
Well, now we can. You're speaking.
Hey, I should have said it when
Nathan
Adam was still on. Now lock me in for Dover, Massachusetts.
Dover. Hello, Dover. How you doing, Dover? What you got? Is it Dover?
Yeah, he's right.
Correct. All right, congratulations. That's the city of the day. Thank you to everybody once again. We'll be continuing the show in the after hours. Thanks to Jake Longstreth and Adam. I have such trouble with people's names. I don't want to disrespect Grand.
And that's a stage name, too, which I didn't know until today.
What?
Isn't that crazy? That's why I
just say Adam from the War on Drugs. I mean, I'm friends with the guy. I should know how to say his last name, but I got so much going on. I got these Beatles videos to watch.
Is he
going to... What did we learn today, guys?
Does the winner here divulge the...
Oh, the code? Pattern? Well, that was revealed already.
Reveal the...
The code is the birthplace city of the second guest.
Okay.
And so that means Adam was born in Dover. He's not a Philly guy. He's from Dover. Oh, well.
I knew a guy named Ben from there.
It's like Joe Biden saying he's from Lancaster. Just calm down with your Lancaster shit. You were there for like 10 minutes. Right? Hello.
Jugs. I'll say.
I got to the Senate.
I'll see you in the after hours experience. You'll be hearing an acoustic performance of Little Deuce Coop. What else did we tease?
We could do Don Jr. crying.
Yes, we'll talk about Don Jr. crying and all the rest.
Any
thank
noodlers?
You, everyone.
Any noodling?
And yeah, the noodling. The
we
song,
didn't get to the noodling.
The heart, skip the noodler heart stuff. Game.
The heart stuff. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get through. We had a huge show, but we ended up meandering and bullshitting and having a good time talking to Jake.
I'm excited.
Shame on you, Jake. And don't forget, patrons only game night Friday tomorrow and MrAmerica.eventive.org. Get your tickets now. We'll see you next week if you're not a member, but you're a shame on you if you're not. Bye.
Now I'm getting excited.
Okay. Give them facts. If they believe quite otherwise.
And if they then decide to live with lies,
That's their concern, not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy.